some talking, there is no talking.
Pardon?
This flies without talking.
Yeah, we'll make a little testing. Is it focused on?
Yes, please.
Focus here, right?
Yeah, that's good.
ओमयानुतिम्यन्नसागानन्दनसलका सकुर्मुदितं जेना तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमती युक्तिवरामस्वामी दिनामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी सारिणी सुशासनमस्ते
I've got a torch.
A flashlight.
I have a flashlight.
Flashlight.
Yeah, we can cover it with some cloth. Take that one.
There's a chatter on
the. Use that chatter on the back of the rocking chair.
No chatter, too heavy.
Especially on this side.
Most of these slides will appear in our book, The Origin of Life and Matter. Life comes from life only. Sarapuna and myself made these slides. These are some of the only the few slides. We specifically want comments from the Divine Grace of the Prabhupada whether these slides should be appropriate to be in the book. Now, this is a philosophy between the difference between life and matter. So this is a Sangha philosophy. In principle, Sangha philosophy, the Prabhupada comments in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, the Sangha philosophy is especially meant for persons who are conditioned by this material world. And by understanding the science of devotional service in the Sangha philosophy, one can become free from the modes of material nature. So, we want to impose that in order to understand the distinction between life and matter, one must have at least a glimpse of the Absolute Truth, at least some idea of the Absolute Truth. Otherwise, it is completely impossible to understand the difference between what is life and what is matter. That is why scientists nowadays are so much confused about the concept of life and matter. So in fact, the scientist Orgel, in his book, The Origin of Life, he starts with saying that what is life, the question what is life should not be inquired.
Yeah.
He says,
1 minute. That absolute truth is explained in the Vedanta Sutra. The Janmadasya Jata. Absolute truth is that from whom everything comes into existence. Everything is valid. Now that has been discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that because Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary by the same author. So he begins, Janmatasya Jataha Annayat Itaratasya Arthesu Abhigya. This word is used. It's not dead body, dead matter, Abhigya. Like, at the beginning, that source of everything, Janmatasya Jataha Itaratasya Arthesu Abhigya. Just like a mother gives birth to a child, she knows everything. How the child was born in the womb, how it developed, how it is coming. At least, on the whole, she knows everything. Similarly, the original source of everything is immediately informed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That abhigya, experience, knows everything. Annayat itaratas, directly and indirectly, everything is known. So, the origin of everything cannot be a dead man. That is the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam.
So the scientists, since they do not know the absolute truth, this is as a fundamental and the most important question, what is life should not be asked, said it is very unscientific.
Yeah.
That's their verdict. But we say, no, that shouldn't be the case. We say, what is life should be inquired and it should be understood. Otherwise, how can one study the origin without knowing what it is? It is rather meaningless to study the origin of something which is not known.
Yes.
So we say, yes, the fundamental and basic requirement is to understand this basic difference between the two principles, that life and the matter. Now, here, the absolute truth in this sloka Ityetam kathitam gurvi jnanam tat brahma darsanam enanu buddhayate tatvam prakite purushasya cha. The translation says, my dear respectful mother, I have already described the path of understanding the absolute truth by which one can come to understand the real truth of matter and spirit and their relationship. So it here clearly says that in order to understand this basic principles, one must have at least some idea about the absolute truth. And it is quite scientific. Comparing our normal scientific disciplines like physics, chemistry, and mathematics, in fact, this very principle is utilized. But the scientists, not knowing that the axioms or the fundamental truths are coming from the absolute source. So this is the basic requirement.
I have heard that mathematics begins from some imaginary thing, minus one, like that.
The absolute numbers?
Something minus one, like that. Who is mathematician here?
Here's our mathematician.
So is that the beginning of mathematics?
What is the beginning of mathematics?
Well, beginning of mathematics is counting, really. You have
the
square root of minus one.
That I heard. Yeah, begin with minus one. That is imaginary. It is not fact. But they imagine something.
In fact, it's called imaginary number.
Yeah.
Square root of minus one.
If mathematics begins with imaginary something, why not absolute truth? That absolute truth must be light. As Bhagavad explains. Janmatasya Jataha Annayat Itaratasya Arthesu Abhigya. He must be aware of everything. That means life. That means life.
Yes.
Now the question is how he became experienced, sarah, independent. That's like he required experience, knowledge from somebody else. Experience, knowledge is not gained automatically, but the absolute means that he is full of knowledge. How he got knowledge? Sarah, independent. That is the description. You have to imagine it like that. It is Vedic injunction, it is fact. That absolute truth independently cognizant of everything. That is absolute.
Now, I want to describe something about this absolute truth. This is why Srila Prabhupada has explained that absolute truth is that from whence everything comes. Dhamma dasa jataha. Now, what is absolute truth? And how the absolute truth is to be known? Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, absolute truth is described anadir atma puruso nirguna prakriti para. The absolute truth, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Soul. And He has no beginning, anadi. It's no beginning. And He is also nirguna, means transcendental to the material modes of nature. And the prakriti para, beyond the existence of this material world.
The same thing is explained also in the Brahma. Anadi, adi. He is anadi. He has no beginning, but He is the beginning of everything. Anadi, adi, Govindam, adi purusham, tamamamana. He is the beginning of everything, but He has no beginning.
And He is a purusha, He is a person. Now, how the absolute truth is to be known? In Bhagavad Gita, it is described, bhaktya mam abhijanati. The absolute truth must be understood as He is, only by devotional service. So,
otherwise, it is not possible. That I explained this morning.
Yes.
Panthastu koti satavasya sampradamba bayurasapi manaso manipunamana sappaste prabhadasimna abhichintatakte. Without bhakti, if you go on speculating, then for many, many years, in the speed of mind, if you want to work, still, abhijinta tattva, it will remain inconceivable.
So what it means is that in order to understand this distinction between life and matter, one must be a devotee.
Yes. We raise the question, we challenge this, that's things, because we are following the path of devotion. We are not scientists. And we could not challenge unless we are convinced. How it is possible? Suppose I am a layman, how I am challenging the big, big scientist? No, it is not. Because we have known it through devotional service. So this is fact. That is the difference.
So these are the some of the axiomatic truths that are necessary steps in order to study this problem between life and matter.
Bhagavad Gita says, bhaktya mam abhijanati. One can understand me through bhakti. And the Vedic injunction is that if one knows me or knows the absolute truth, God, then he knows everything. Jasmin vijñāte sarvamitam vijñātam bhavanti. If somehow or other one knows the absolute truth, then he knows everything. Jasmin vijñāte sarvamitam vijñātam bhavanti. That is the benefit of knowing the absolute truth. So a devotee knows everything. How it is possible? That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. తీసామి వానుకంపార్థం అహమజ్ఞాన జగతమ నాశయామి ఆత్మభావస్త జ్ఞానదీపేన భాస్వత. One may challenge how a person can know everything. And Krishna immediately replies that I help him specifically. Tesami Vanukam Partham, just to show my personal, special favor upon him. I light up the torch of knowledge and he knows it. Thank you. So if Krishna helps one to know everything, who can check it? That is not possible. Please have some. Yeah. And he is not all powerful. Krishna all powerful, he can do everything.
It is also further described about this absolute truth as Badanti Tat Tatvam Vidas.
Tattam. Vadanti Tat Tatvam Vidas Tatyam Jad Jnanam Adda Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan. That is absolute. Mm-hmm.
Now, these statements are quite scientifically valid and sound. Now, this will be verified in our next slide that is called the axioms. Now, let's see. This is called the structure of a theory in scientific disciplines, in physics, especially in mathematics. Now, scientists work with a beginning called axioms. There are two types of axioms. First one is logical axiom, and the second one is theoretical axioms. Now, from these axioms, by inference, actually one deduces these theorems, that's in the second block. From there, by observation, we have this object of study. Now, the basic question is, where from these axioms coming from? The starting point, the axioms, they take it for granted, and actually there's no proof. This is beyond proof, beyond any scientific proof.
So Vedanta Sutra means all axiom.
Vedanta?
Vedanta Sutra.
Yeah.
That is all axiom. Axiomatic truth.
So the way that science works is also they depend on axioms. But actually, when one analyzes this little thoughtfully, one should come to the conclusion that actually these axioms are coming from the absolute. So our first proposition that in order to understand life and matter, one must have this some knowledge of the absolute truth is scientifically sound.
Explain something in the beginning of Isvoponishad, my lecture in the Conway Hall. What is that absolute truth?
Is it from Purna?
Introduction. I've given the example that Veda said cow dung is pure. This is axiomatic truth. Now if you analyze cow dung, you will find all the antiseptic properties are there. This is axiomatic truth.
Now, in the next slide, we establish the difference between the life and matter. These are some of the basic differences between the...
So we can read it?
Can everybody see this?
I cannot read it.
I'll explain
one
briefly.
One side it says matter, the other side it says life.
On the left side it is matter, on the right side it is life. Now it is a little different from the way that this different setup by biologists. This is quite unique in a sense because we all take this from the sources of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So the first point says that matter is the inferior energy of the absolute truth. And on the light column, it is the superior energy of the Absolute Truth.
Yeah.
Now in the...
That is explained in Bhagavad Gita.
Pardon, Bhagavad Gita?
That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. Yeah. Then in the second point, under the heading of matter, it is describable to some extent by physical and chemical laws. But on the other hand, life is non-physical and non-chemical. It is beyond matter. It is transcendental. That is the basic that difference.
That is explained indirectly. What are those verses? Na chindanti na dayate. Definition by negation. It is never dried up, it is never cut into pieces, it is never burst. Where did you find that verse? Negative way. Physical, Mrs. Karmi cut into pieces. But here, it cannot be cut into pieces. You have physical and chemical, you have got idea. Any physical thing can be cut into pieces. But here, the negative description is given. It cannot be cut into pieces. Now you have to think, what is that thing which cannot be cut into pieces?
So we say non-physical, non-chemical.
Yes, that is quite right. Physical, anything physical can be cut into pieces. Is it?
This is 220. For the soul there is never birth nor death, nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. The soul can never be cut into pieces by any weapon, nor can he be burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. The individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble, and can neither be burned nor dried.
It is not physical. This is not physical. What is that physical thing which cannot be burned, which cannot be cut, which cannot be soaked? There's no such thing in the physical experience. Is there anything?
No.
Therefore, not physical. This is definition by negation. And the logic, there is a process of definition by negation. The Mahavadis, they define the Brahma. Neti, negation. It is not this, it is not this. What is that? They cannot tell. They simply negate. That is a partial definition. Yes, Lord?
And the third point, lacks in matter column, lacks specific inherent complex form. And a light column has a specific complex form and activity by nature. Now here, we are talking about complex form. Normally the matter itself is very simple by nature. But light tends, when we are the material the living entity is in a living body, the matter itself is also very complex when it is associated with light. But matter per se is very simple structure.
How can you say though that the soul has a complex form?
Well, we get information that in the spiritual world is full of variegatedness. It is not just one variety, it is full of varieties. So we take that as a proof of the complex nature of life.
We see the soul of the life is there in the material body. He has got varieties of thoughts. That is the proof that life is full of varieties. As soon as the life is not there, no more varieties, only one variety, dead body. Finished. And as long as the life is there, he has got so many ideas, so many arts, so many philosophies, so many. That is the proof that life is full of varieties. That is the proof. As soon as the life is off, there is no variety. So what do you want? More proof that life is full of variety.
Yes. Srila Prabhupada, in this connection, this variegatedness in connection with life, can we take it as some sort of complex structures?
You can, because we at the present moment, we cannot understand, except physics and chemistry, we cannot understand life. So, as we do not understand life, so therefore the definition by negation is there. It is not physical, not chemical. It is something beyond. But by practical experience we can see that when there is life, a living man wants varieties. That's a fact.
Yes.
Varieties. Otherwise, why we disagree? I have got some varieties, you have got some varieties. So the conclusion should be taken that living condition or life is full of varieties. Therefore the kingdom of life, the spiritual kingdom, must be full of varieties.
Yes.
That is the conclusion.
But in the, in our, from our experience, it is quite clear though that there's a matter as such. For example, let's take a crystal of diamond, or that will be shown later in the slides. But there are, actually crystal of diamond is built in very simple structures. It's just hexagon, six carbon atoms, one after another, forms a very simple structure. But on the other hand, now, when light is in association with matter, if we take a simple cell, the cell is composed of so many big molecules, like proteins and DNAs and all these giant molecules, and they are wonderfully complex.
Yeah.
So, in the...
What this... studying of a dead man, the molecules.
Yeah.
When a man is dead, what is the condition of the molecules?
The molecules will deteriorate to simple molecules. It will degrade from big molecules to small molecules. In other words, it tends to be simple. When the living entity is out of the material body, the body itself becomes very simple.
Then, yes, no variety.
No variety.
That I expressed.
So complexity is there because the spirit soul is complex.
Yeah. The characteristic here, Srila Prabhupada says that the life has specific complex form and activity by nature.
Yes.
So that there's activity.
That is explained in the Vedanta Sutra. Excellent. Anandamaya Abhyasa. By nature, Anandama. And variety is the mother of enjoyment. Unless described this bunch of flower. When there are varieties of flower, it becomes a very enjoyable bunch. If you simply bring rose, although it is very valuable, it is not so enjoyable. But when there is a small, insignificant leaf also, which is not valuable than the rose, but rose becomes beautiful. perish life. And who appreciates when the man is living? A dead man cannot appreciate his beauty. That is beauty. Combination of variety is beauty or blissfulness.
Next point says, in the column of matter, it says it has temporary complex forms in association with life. On the other hand, life is immutable. From Bhagavad Gita, it has neither beginning nor end. Now, this is what actually we find when a living entity is in association with matter. Now, matter tends to be formed into definite specific forms, like human body has a specific form, like that other living entities have forms, but this is only due to in association with life.
Yeah. As he desired, so he got a form. Karmanāda yuvana trena. The form is offered by the Supreme Absolute Truth as he desires. Just like the cloth has no form, but as the customer desires, the tailor gives a form suitable to his desire. Similarly, material world means we have got varieties. No, in the spiritual world also we have got varieties. Because we are originally a variety of thought, we are getting these varieties of body, being influenced by the laws of material, modes of material nature. So I am desiring that if I get such body, I can eat even stew. So God gives you all that, you take this body, become a pig and eat stew. This is going on. Why? You are desiring, you eat actually. So, Ishvara Sarvabhutana Riddhese Arjuna Tishtati. He is friendly, he is sitting in everyone's heart. And the living entity is desiring. So, Brahma, desiring means he wants to go here and there. Brahma and Sarvabhutani, Jantra Arjuna, he gives a particular type of Jantra. Machine, this body is machine. Body is machine, everyone accepts. This is machine. If you want to go to India, we'll ride on a machine, aeroplane, and go there. Similarly, Brahma and Sarvabhutani. We want varieties of life, and God gives us a particular machine to ride on. And travel, go, we have to go to hell, become a dog, become a cat, become a demigod, become a tree. This is the transmigration of the soul. God gives us a particular type of body and we change from one machine to another. This is transmigration.
In this connection, one quality that is quite visible is there that matter in association with life, there is a constant flow of matter that biologists describe as metabolism. Means we eat some food and then prasadam is digested in specific ways by so many chemical reactions in the body. But that happens only...
That is also stated in Ahang. Vaishyanarobhutya pachayami yannam chaturvidam. That digestion is also helped by God. Isn't that? Aham vaishyanarobhutya pachayami yannam chaturvidam. Is it not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am the fire of digestion.
Yes.
So that differentiates also this just simple matter without light. For example, sometimes it has been asked whether a crystal is alive or not. This is confusing to the scientists. Sometimes they say that a crystal is just like behaving like a living body. It grows and this and that, they say. But actually, there is no flow of matter tells us that a crystal is not life. It's a fundamental difference. And the last point is in this connection is the matter is impersonal, and the life is life has personality.
Yeah.
So that implies that matter is unconscious and the life is fully conscious. Yes.
It's been said sometime, Prabhupada, that you have said that some rocks have life. Hmm? Some rocks, some stones are actually spirit souls in them.
Yeah. That's why in the tree there is spirit soul. Everywhere there is spirit soul. But development of consciousness makes difference. The difference between the tree and man is that man is developed, consciously developed. The tree is not developed. That is the point. When life is there, both in the tree and the man.
What about the crystal? The crystal grows, but we don't say that the crystal has life in the usual sense of the term.
Is the crystal also?
Like diamond.
Like diamond, crystal.
Anywhere there is growth, there is life.
So there it's, the consciousness is simply not manifest.
Yeah.
In crystal form. Like the stone does not show consciousness.
Yeah.
So it's there.
There are two kinds of life. Savara Jangava. Savara means station. The stone is also station. It cannot move. Big mountain. Your life, it is station. And a small ant, it is not station, it is moving. But there are two kinds of life, station and moving. Savara Jangava.
But Srila Prabhupada, in order to present this to scientists in general, we are saying specifically that there's no life in stone.
No, that one stone may be dead, just like a tree standing. But when it is dead, the symptoms are different. There is no more green leaf. But the tree as it is, it is standing. But there is no more green leaf.
Yeah, but there is a basic difference.
So similarly, we may not understand that life, so long life is there, there is development. There is a stone in Banaras, Silebhandesa. Everyone knows that stone is increasing. Still, it is there. The people go to see it. One who has seen that stone 10 years ago, you will see it is developed. The life, symptom of life is growth.
So, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes only a single symptom of life may be demonstrated. Like in crystal, there's some growth only, but no other manifestation. Then the crystal may stop growing. Just like a tree, stop growing
means dead.
Yeah.
Even if the stone is growing, there is no metabolism.
That is the one thing. Machine. We have said the body is the machine. So the mechanical arrangement may not be the same in many machines. But it is a machine.
One question I have is about this personality. We know from, of course,
but that consciousness teaching. Where consciousness is developed, not developed, the personality is not developed. Just like tree you cut, there is no personality, it does not protest. Why you are cutting? Does not scream. But a man or animal, when you attempt to injure, it screams, it protests. And that means consciousness is developed.
How can we prove that the personality...
This is
though?
The proof. Consciousness developed and the symptoms are there. It's like we are studying this. Our consciousness is developed. This discussion is not possible by the animals. Although it has got your life symptom. Therefore, because our consciousness is developed, we can inquire. Therefore, in the human form, it is the only business to inquire about the Absolute. Now, Dhātu Brahma Jīgyāsu. The animals, they can inquire, where is some food, where is some stool. That much. They have no other power. But when one gets this machine of human form of body, the Vedanta action is, now it is the time for inquiring about the Absolute. Athātu Brahma Jīgyāsu. That is real human life, when he inquires about the Absolute Truth. Otherwise it is animal life. And there are so many departments of education, means inquiries. In the human society there are departmental education. Physics department, chemistry department, mathematics department, this department, that part. Because there are different inquiries. So Vedanta Sutra says that the prime inquiry is to inquire about the Absolute. That is human life. If there is no inquiry about the Absolute Truth, then still he is animal. So those who are simply satisfied with the physics and chemistry, they are still animal. They are not human. This is the challenge. But still they have not developed the consciousness. And that inquiry, when it is for Krishna, that is the final development. And when he understands Krishna, his life is perfect. Then he goes back again to the spiritual world. He's quite fit to live there. Otherwise, he is unfit, he must live here in this material. And if you understand Krishna, tattādiham punarjanmana iti, māma iti, this is perfect.
Now, one last question in this stone thing. Now, as a devotee, we know that your matter is also eternal in the form of a pradhana. It's described in third canto.
Yes, you have already explained. The two energies.
Yes.
The energetic is eternal. The energy is also eternal.
Yes.
But the difference between the inferior and superior means one is manifested eternally, and one is sometimes manifested, sometimes not manifested. That is inferior. The matter is sometimes manifested, sometimes not manifested. Just like the cloud. What is this cloud? Cloud is also manifestation of the energy of the sun. Is it not?
Yes.
But it is sometimes manifested, sometimes not manifested. But the sun sign is always manifested. So that is the defined between inferior and superior. Both of them are energies of the sun. But the cloud is sometimes manifested, sometimes not manifested. But the sun sign is always manifested. But as energy, they're coming from the same source. But matter is sometimes manifested, sometimes not manifested. Therefore it is inferior, and life is always manifested, therefore it is superior.
Now,
I am soul, I am eternal. But this body is manifested now. It is existing 80 years or 100 years. When this body will be finished, finished forever, then again another matter manifests. But I am the soul, eternal, this body or that body. Nahannate hannavane sarire. He is ever manifest. Either this body or that body, that body. That is eternity, that is superiority.
Now, understanding these basic differences, study the origin of life as a meaning. But scientists studying the origin of life, they have no idea about these fundamental differences. So they claim that life actually is a manifestation of matter. In other words, life comes from molecules. They call molecule to man theory that we will see in the next slide. Now in this slide, the molecules is called a primordial chemical soup. Now these chemicals are supposed to be formed from simple, first of all, reduced substances like water and ammonia and carbon and hydrogen compound. They're called hydrocarbons. Now this somehow, under the action of ultraviolet radiation or cosmic force, they combine together and form these amino acids. Now these amino acids in due course of time form the polymers called proteins, and similarly several polymeric compounds develop and given a long period of time, we've shown their chance and given a long period of time, then it's going to bring life, it's going to give life. That is the fundamental background of the scientific study of origin of life. This is what they proposed. These molecules somehow will combine, given enough length of time, billions of years, that's the time period, and then it's bound to happen. They say, given enough length of time.
Provided he lives billions of years.
Yes.
And he's finished within 50 years. And his theory remains. The rascal cannot remain more than 50 years, and he's talking of billions of years. This is the defect. We'll see after billions of years. He's finished within 100 years.
So that dead bodies will see.
These are theories, I mean.
So we want to point out that
we see practically an egg appears like chemical combination. But if you give proper fermentation, what is it called?
Fermentation.
It comes within a few days, by billions of years. Why should we wait for billions of years? This is nonsense. You see, practically, a bird can give birth to a child within a few days, within a week. Why should you wait for billions of years? What kind of scientist you are? You're proposing to wait for millions of years. Who is going to accept your foolish? You see practically plants within a week, and you say millions of years. Nonsense, stop there. Tell them, your nonsense, stop. Don't expose yourself. Anyway. We see here, practically, within a week the life comes. Suppose the egg is a chemical composition. It is. It is chemical composition, that's a fact. But it gives life within a week. Why shall I wait? For billions of years. Let's see their foolishness. And this is being accepted as scientific.
Yes, actually it is taught in all schools. Yes. There's a book called Molecules to Man. It's written by many famous biologists. And it has been taught in schools, saying that you come like this from molecules, now you become a human being.
Deep aside man. You know, the molecules to chicken. Right. How it is done? What is their answer?
They say give enough length of time.
Now why shall I give them? Yet I see within a week I get.
Then they ask, but where did the first egg come from?
Huh?
Where did the first egg come from?
Hush, second, no. We see that they say that you have to wait. You give the molecules chance and wait for billions of years, then you see life. So I'm not going to live for billions of years, neither scientist is going to live. But here I see practically that a small egg, it gives life within 1 week.
Life?
Life from egg,
yeah.
Chicken, it gives life within a week. So why should I wait for millions and billions of years? You sow, you make some combination of chemical, and so that life is coming within a week.
We want to defeat this, so in the next slide, in subsequent slides, Sarabhul Babu will show some mathematical calculation showing that this is completely wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong. We can see, even a layman can see. No question of mathematician. A layman can see, yeah, within a week we see life. Why shall I wait for millions and billions of years?
It's like Srila Prabhupada, and it's described in the Vedas that life begins as a pea size. In the body, in the womb of the mother, the human life is only pea size, emulsification. And then in 9 months, it develops from this very small series of chemicals and everything into a full body.
No, no, in the Vedas, it is, Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the life symptoms begins after 5 days.
And consciousness is 7 months.
Not in consciousness, but development.
But anyway, in 9 months it's all done, not billions of years.
Seven months. 7 months, the consciousness returns back and the child wants to come out. Therefore it moves, it feels inconvenient. And if he is pious, he then prays to God, kindly save me from this condition. Now taking birth, I shall take to Krishna consciousness and make myself free from this bondage.
The most remarkable thing in so-called scientists is that they believe in the most unscientific statement.
Yeah.
Like this long time period.
Yeah.
It's the most unscientific.
Yeah.
So how can they claim it's
scientific? That I've already said. We see practically within 5 days, within 7 days, the life is manifest. And this rascal has millions of years which we'll never see, neither I'll see. And we have to accept such theory. Before seeing that life system, his life will be finished. And the student also will be finished. and we're going to see.
Their trick is that they say it has already happened. Over the past 4.5 billion years, the time has taken place for this complex form of life to evolve. So they say, well, it has already
happened. That's all right, we define the time. You say millions, millions, or we say 7 days.
Well, they'll say that it's able to happen in a couple of days because it's taken billions of years.
The basis of their philosophy is that there's no intelligence behind. Therefore, everything is chaotically going on, and by possibility, it develops. But our philosophy is that there's intelligence, it can immediately happen.
You see, practically. They take theory, you can see practically.
Yes, so
we can millions of years.
So we want to completely wipe out this theory.
Yeah.
Actually, it has. If we think of not in terms of science, but just in terms of our day-to-day experience in social, moral, ethical, all levels of consciousness. Mm-hmm. If one analyzes this a little carefully, actually the root cause of our complete ethical breakdown at this time is mainly due to this theory that you are from molecules, and when you finish your body, you'll also go back to molecules. So don't worry about this, all these high-sounding philosophical words. You just enjoy whatever you want and do whatever you like to do. So this type of complete materialistic...
Irresponsible life.
Yes, meaninglessness.
Yeah.
No meaning. Mm. So it's no purpose because of this very concept. So it actually has a strong influence, especially in the colleges and the university circles. The students,
educational circles.
Yes.
In the educational circles, they are made fools. Education means he is a more fool. That's all. That is education. Mura. Maya aprita jnana. These fools and rascals, their actual knowledge is taken away, and they are coming out as educated.
He wants to call them slaughterhouses.
Huh?
Slaughterhouses of education.
Yes. Yes, I have said, yes. Well, it means whatever little education he had, that is also finished.
Yeah. So, by the mercy of His Divine Grace, if we can eliminate this theory, then we can establish Krishna consciousness on firm scientific basis.
Yeah, that is my desire.
And there is a great necessity of...
Yeah, to save the people from this foolish type of education.
Now, in the next slide, we will show that actually there are some previous scientists who are not actually atheists, rather they are some sort of devotee qualities. And one scientist called Pasteur, he actually proved that life cannot come from matter. And that is shown in the next slide. Is one more slide?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry. So this is the experiment. It was in...
There are many Pasteur institutes.
This is the man, Pasteur.
He has got many institutes.
Yes, it is in his name, Pasteur. Yeah. He's a famous scientist. He was a chemist and a biochemist. And he did this experiment in 1860s. Now, the floss, this experiment is called a swan neck experiment because the shape of the neck of the floss looks like the neck of a swan. So it is famous swan neck experiment. Now, at that time, it was quite amazing that even the so-called famous Greek philosophers like Aristotle, Plato, and all these philosophers, even they believed that life actually comes from matter.
Okay.
They had all a complete materialistic view of life, completely on the bodily concept. Now, at that time...
Socrates did not believe like that.
Socrates should also be in a material concept.
No, Socrates didn't think it was the body.
The body?
He separated body from the soul. It's,
but after Socrates, they are all like that. Socrates, you said once to me, was the last philosopher in the Western world of any value. At least he knew the difference between body and soul.
Yeah.
But after that, they all became nonsense.
They were arguing that, like, the mice can use Newport scorpions, for example. They said that could happen.
That Prabhupada's example, that rice can give scorpions, something like that. Scorpion comes up from rice.
Yeah. Tandula brischikna. Tandula brischikna.
Where is this, Prabhupada? Is it in...
In the Nyashastra, it is. Tandula brischikna. Tandula means rice, and brischik means scorpion. The scorpion coming out of the heaps of rice. So therefore, rice is producing scorpion. This logic is wrong.
Yes. So, but people even believe like that. So Pasteur, actually he believed strongly in God. And he wanted to disprove that theory. And in fact, he got prize for doing this experiment from a French academy in, during that year. And this flask contains sugar solution, and which some use to ferment at the beginning. But now the experiment was to completely kill any germs inside the flask by heating at the beginning, and then cool it down automatically and keep for some time, about 2 or 3 days.
Sterilization.
Yes, sterilization. And then see whether there is any light develop within that broth. Now in the first flask, where the neck is still attached to the flask, now Pasteur found that there was no microorganisms fermenting the flask, I mean the solution inside the flask. But after some time, he cut the neck of the flask, that is in the second flask. Then as soon as the neck is cut, then microorganisms from the air, surrounding air, atmosphere, enter into the flask, and then the solution is fermented. So that was actually the proof that without presence of the microorganisms from outside, from the atmosphere, then life cannot grow into that matter.
Yes. That is Vedic theory.
That yes.
That is explained in the Bhagavatam.
And here he has a nice quote, Pasteur. Sarabhu, can you read that?
It says, prosperity will one day laugh at the foolishness of the modern materialistic philosophers. The more I study nature, the more I stand amazed at the works of the Creator.
Yeah.
So he believed actually completely in the divine concept, divine personality. But unfortunately, this experiment has been misinterpreted by these demoniac scientists.
That is also Vedic conception, that sex between man and woman is not the cause of life. Unless the living soul comes in the proper situation, the man secretion, woman secretion combined together, emulsified, and it creates a proper situation for the rest of the soul. So contraceptive method means that emulsification is disturbed. It does not create the proper situation, therefore pregnancy does not happen. Or imperfect discharge, the main point is that the two discharges, they create a situation wherein the living entity comes and rests, then it grows. Not that, that is the cause of life. The mixture of two secretions is not the cause of life. That creates a proper situation when the life comes. And if the situation is not favorable, the soul cannot stay. It has to go to somewhere else. So by the order of Krishna, he was to come to take shelter there. But this manner of unchecked that very simple, is to be punished. Just like one apartment is fixed up for me, and if somebody checks, does not allow me to enter, that is criminal. That is criminal, is to be punished. Unlawful detention. But they do not know the laws of nature, how it is working. The law of nature is working very silently, subtly. But they do not know. Ahankara vimurātmā, kartā aham iti manna. Rascal is so fool that he thinks that I can do everything, whatever I like. Similarly, killing of animal, then life is eternal. One can argue that what is wrong? Even if I kill, the soul is alive. No. The same argument, that this soul was to live in a particular type of body under the laws of nature, and you have checked, and he has to take again a similar body to fulfill the duration. Therefore, you have done criminality. I have got lease for living in this room for a certain period. If prior to the expiry of the lease, if the landlord drives me away, that is illegal. He is to be punished.
That is like abortion.
Huh?
That is like the abortion.
Everything is on that principle. That you're violating the laws of nature, therefore you are criminal. You have to be punished. You cannot do it. Ahankara vimurātmā.
Like if you're situated in your apartment and someone comes and forces you out of your apartment, that is like abortion.
Yeah, that is abortion. By force, you are destroying the shelter, therefore you are killed.
So we can utilize this experiment.
When the air comes from outside, then there is germination.
Yes.
Yes. That is the
life comes from life
theory. As I have already explained, it is not the man and woman sex creation. The life comes from outside. That just the solution was there, but the life comes from outside. The same example, the solution of man and woman is there, but life must come there. Then there will be pregnancy. Karmana Daiva Netrena, find out this third canto.
First verse.
Third canto.
Which volume was it?
'After this experiment, Srila Prabhupada, the scientist reinterpreted the experiment to mean an entirely different thing. You were going to explain that, Srila Dhanaguru, how they made it seem the opposite of what Pasteur intended?
Yes, there are two interpretations. One is saying that give enough length of time, long time period in this pastoral experiment, then they are proposing that, yes, something is going to bound to happen.
The same thing, you are giving more time, and here it is, less time. But more time means you are expecting something to come. That is our answer. Yet, you are giving more time and the situation is not favorable. So more time means when the situation will be favorable, the life will come from outside. That is our answer.
Yes.
Yet the situation is favorable, the life has come easily. Mm. But you are waiting. Waiting means you are waiting the life coming from outside. Not the solution which has been. Is it not? Waiting means you are just waiting for the favorable situation.
Yeah.
To receive.
The second point was that they intend
that,
to...
That this time factor is answered. But you are waiting. You cannot do that. You are waiting for the favorable situation.
They say wait for the in the future, after
that's all right. But why shall I wait if I can get immediate?
Yes.
That is intelligent.
Yes, they are cheating.
Cheating, that's all. Which can be done in few days. Why shall I wait for millions of years?
Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papattaye striya pravishta udharam humso reta kanashaya. Translation. The personality of Godhead said, under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and according to the result of his work, the living entity, the soul, is made to enter into the womb of a woman through the particle of male semina to assume a particular type of body.
The life comes from the man. The living entity takes shelter of the semina, and the semina is discharged in the womb of the woman. And if the situation is favorable, then the living entity remains there and that body develops. This is present. And that yoni, that mother is situated, selected by Daivanatrana, by superior man. This man has worked, this living entity has worked in such a way, he should go to such and such womb. And then if he goes to a queen's womb, he becomes a prince. If he goes to the dog's womb, he becomes a dog. The mother gives the body. And the superior order is there. Now he must go to the dog's womb. He must go to the queen's womb. Otherwise, how it is, from the birth, one is prince, another is dog. If there is no superior, who likes to become a dog? No. But according to his karma, by superior arrangement, he has to take. Karanam guna sangha sya sadasat janma jumani su. He has, what is called, infected the contamination of material modes of nature, and he must develop a type of body according to that karma. That's like if you contaminate some disease germ, then you must suffer from that disease. This is the mystery of birth. Karanam guna sangayasya sadasat janma jyoti. Otherwise, why there are difference of varieties of life? Sat asat. Something good, something bad. That he does not know. He works independently, defies the laws of nature and becomes implicated. And on account of dull brain, he is punished, stand up here for 10,000 years, become a tree. That's all. That is the result of his dullness. Remain here for 10,000 years. A dull brain, even one cuts you cannot protest. You suffer all kinds of natural disturbance. This is very sinful because when you become a tree. And they do not make any distinction between life and matter. The things are going on. There is no knowledge. And they are passing as scientists, as philosophers. Why varieties of life? What is the scientific explanation? One life is prince, one life is tea. Why the difference? Is there any explanation? There must be some explanation. It is also life. Why one life has got this prince body, another this tree body? Karanam, Bhagavad Gita, karanam guna sangharsa. Because is association of different types of material modes of nature. If you keep yourself dull as the tree, without associating the modes of goodness, without becoming a Brahman, then you become a tree. That's all. And if you become a Brahmana, then develop your association with goodness and go back to home, back to home. Therefore, human life should be fully engaged. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Simply for understanding Brahma. And as soon as you understand, Brahma Janati Iti Brahma. Then you are Brahmana. And as soon as you are Brahmana, then you act as a Brahmana. Satta samadama tithi kharjava jnanam vijnanam asikam brahma karma sabhava. Then you become Vaishnava. When you become Vaishnava, tad Vishnu paramam padam sadapasanti. You are hankering after Vishnu. Then your life is and to keep them dull brain like these trees and mountains, that is the greatest disservice in the human society. He has got the capacity to become a Brahmana, and they are keeping him just like a dull brain, mountain and tree. Therefore you want to stop this. It is suicidal to the human society. They have got the chance of becoming a Brahmana and they are keeping them as dull brains, trees and mountains. The modern civilization, the most harmful civilization, denying the facility. One has got the capacity to become a Brahmana and they are denying the facility to keep him. Women like hogs and dogs. Whole day and night work hard to find out some stool, and as soon as we get some stool, little strength, then have sex without any discrimination, this is civilization. The Vedic civilization for which Nayam Diho Diho Bhajan Diho Kastan Kaman Arhati Virbhujan Diho. If you have created a civilization like the hogs who are working day and night hard to find out some stool, and as soon as he eats some stool, his sex power is agitated, and he doesn't care whether mother, sister or daughter. That is hog's life. Hog civilization. Work day and night and have sex. With hog civilization. And next life, become a tree, become a dull-headed tree, a dull-headed stone, mountain, or dull-headed elephant. Who knows the laws of creation? How one becomes elephant, how one becomes hog, how one becomes a demigod. Do the scientists know it? Then, where is the knowledge? The knowledge is wait for a million years, then you'll see life.
That's their most favorite slogan.
Wait.
You see? I'm immediately going to become a dog, and I have to wait for a million. Let's see. This is their knowledge. Tasadehantara-prapti. As soon as you give up this body, you get another body. You get a scientist, Krishna says, and he says, wait for millions of years. So shall I take Krishna or the scientist?
Krishna.
Krishna says immediately, and you haven't got to wait for millions of years to for a boy to become a young man. It takes 3 years. Does it require millions of years for a boy to grow as a young man? By nature's way, it is immediately, a few years. Every moment the body is changing. Deena swinga thadehe kumara yoganandara. Anyway, fight with this ignorance. Krishna consciousness means fighting with ignorance. That's it. Murana abhijanati mamin papparamabhya. What is the next verse? You did it? That is very interesting chapter. Read the part.
As stated in the last chapter, after suffering different kinds of hellish conditions, a man comes again to the human form of body. The same topic is continued in this chapter. In order to give a particular type of human form to a person who has already suffered hellish life, the soul is transferred to the semina of a man who is just suitable to become his father. During sexual intercourse, the soul is transferred through the semina of the father into the mother's womb in order to produce a particular type of body. This process is applicable to all embodied living entities, but it is especially mentioned for the man who has transferred to the Anda-Tamasya hell. After suffering there, when he has had many types of hellish bodies, like those of dogs and hogs, is to come again to the human form. He is given the chance to take his birth in the same type of body from which he degraded himself to hell. Everything is done by the supervision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Material nature supplies the body, but it does so under the direction of the Supersoul. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that a living entity is wandering in this material world on a chariot made by material nature. The Supreme Lord, as Supersoul, is always present with the individual soul. He directs material nature to supply a particular type of body to the individual soul according to the result of his work. and the material nature supplies it. Here, one word, Reta Kanashraya, is very significant because it indicates that it is not the semina of the man that creates life within the womb of a woman. Rather, the living entity, the soul, takes shelter in a particle of semina and is then pushed into the womb of a woman. Then the body develops. There is no possibility of creating a living entity without the presence of the soul simply by sexual intercourse.
This is outside. This is not the combination of the solution. The soul is come from outside, this empty. It is not the solution he is creating that.
The materialistic theory that there is no soul and that a child is born simply by material combination of a man's and woman's semina is not very feasible. It is unacceptable.
Next, text 2.
Kalalang tveka ratrena pancharatrena buddh.
Giving description of one day, one night, next night, like that, every description.
Kalalang tveka ratrena pancharatrena buddh buddham tashahena tukar kandhu peshandang vatata param. Translation. On the first night, the semina and ovum mix, and on the fifth night, the mixture ferments into a bubble.
This empty.
On the tenth night, it develops into a form like a plum, and after that, gradually it turns into a lump of flesh or an egg, as the case may be. Purport. The body of the soul develops in four different ways, according to its different sources. One kind of body, that of the trees and plants, sprouts from the earth. The second kind of body grows from perspiration, as with flies, germs, and bugs. The third kind of body develops from eggs, and the fourth develops from an embryo. This verse indicates that after emulsification of the ovum and semina, the body gradually develops either into a lump of flesh or into an egg, as the case may be. In the case of birds, it develops into an egg, and in the case of animals and human beings, it develops into a lump of flesh.
Then, next one.
Text 3. Masena tu shiro dvabhyam bhavangriyadi anga vigraha naka lomasti kamani chamani linga chidro bhavastribi. Translation. In the course of a month, a head is formed, and at the end of 2 months, hands, feet, and other limbs take shape. By the end of 3 months, the nails, fingers, toes, body hair, bones, and skin appear, as do the organ of generation and the other apertures in the body, namely the eyes, nostrils, ears, mouth, and anus.
The same thing. Fermentation, there you go. And the living entity takes a form, then flies, as they say, from the water itself, flies. Mosquito. The same process of development. That's all. So everything is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
What happens to the soul when you have an abortion there? Where does it go?
Goes to another body.
Another body?
That's Dehantaram. Tatha Dehantra Prati. If you do not allow him to this body, he goes to another body. That's why if you drive me from this apartment, I must go somewhere. I must find out another apartment. It is not that I am finished.
Is that too true?
You force me to go out of this apartment. So I go to a friend's house or anywhere, I must go.
Is that also due to karma or work? Huh? Is that also due to that soul's karma? That he has gone from being aborted and gone to another body?
Not necessarily, but you create a karma. you are responsible for that.
So it's not necessarily that he is receiving some sinful reaction from past work that he's not allowed to enter.
That may be, but you are responsible for that. Because you are driving me from this apartment by force. Actually, in the hard sense, that is accepted, that you asked to be driven out. But because you are driving, you are responsible for it.
So complex.
Now, this experiment, another interpretation of this material scientist, is that they claim that this experiment disproved the vital theory. But on the other hand, actually the opposite is true, that he proved that there is a vital theory, rather that the spirit must be there. That was actually proved by this experiment also. But the mentality of this scientist, also demoniac, that they twist the truth around. So RNA is a big molecule, and that is actually transcribed with, from this DNA molecule. DNA molecule, they call it the master molecule, from which everything comes, all the molecules. Now, if we see this carefully, we can see at every step that there is a specific direction and information, without which this whole machinery will break down.
Yeah. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishta matta smriti jnanam apohanam. Find out this verse. Vedaishya sarvaya. So if you want to acquire knowledge how this molecule are working, so you must know it is coming from me. The direction is coming from me. You are waiting. Where from this direction is coming? Krishna, the direction is coming from me. Matta, from me. Then the absolute truth is becoming.
So the scientists are mistaking the effects for the causes? The scientists are mistaking the effects for the causes? The molecules are working
under
Krishna's
the direction.
Direction.
Yes, under the direction of the Super Soul. That is stated, matta from me. Yes.
Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishta matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha vedascha sarva ahameva vejo vedantikrit veda vedeva chaham. I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas am I to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas.
So you are searching, you are surprised how this direction is coming. Here is the answer. Matta. From me. The answer is
a comparison can be made with these things like this and say a computerized factory. Computerized factory, there has to be direction all the time or else it breaks down.
The direction is coming from Krishna. It's all perfect.
The instructions are given so vividly here that first step is called the initiation step. It has to give specific information coded in this, they call basis. And now, then it elongates. And then finally, it's called stop signal. So there's some message coming, that you stop right there. And then if there will be some mistake or something wrong along the path, then there will be a correction signal. Think that you made a mistake, so correct there.
I see.
How this type of...
How perfect it is.
Yes.
Purnamidam. Purnat Purnamidachate. Because the direction is coming from the Purna, complete. So correction is made and everything is done, everything is right. Because the direction is coming from the complete, perfect, there cannot be any mistake. That's it.
So this is actually the first step of protein synthesis. Now, in order to make proteins, this messenger RNA has to be transcribed from this DNA molecule. And in the next step, we'll see the final step for protein synthesis. Now, there are also RNAs, they are called transRNA, those white and yellow colored things. Each of them has to bring a specific amino acid coded to a specific code, three base pair. Now, each of them has to bring a specific amino acid and put it together in a very specific manner. They cannot scramble, because if it scrambles, it's not going to
be... Again, mistake.
Yes. So it cannot happen.
Just rightly.
Yes.
So much direction is there, perfect.
Yeah. So like that, then when they, once they bring these amino acids one by one, then they stick together, and that also process is done by enzymes. There are so many steps involved and very intricate, and these are actually done by a catalyst called enzymes. Enzymes are also very big molecules, actually they are also proteins, and in each step, the enzymes are so specific that they do only one specific function, just for the right purpose. And once this is done, then slowly the protein separates at the right time and with a proper length and proper number of amino acids. So in this way, actually we can prove in every case that
perfect direction.
Yes. The direction of the super soul is a necessity in whatever condition we look at, even in the molecules.
So nice management, there must be nice direction.
No question of chance.
There's Andantarashtam, Paramanuchayantarashtam. Krishna is in every atom.
And he somebody says how the atoms are working like that, they are crystals. Brahma says, Annantarasam Paramanuchayantarasam. He is within the atom. The Supreme. That's why it is acting so nice. Ekap pasodura chayatam jagadanda koti. All material world is going on and as nature. And he is acting within the atom. Annantarasam Paramanuchayantarasam. As he is directing this cosmic arrangement, similarly, he is directing from the atom, within the atom. That is omnipotence.
So, we want to develop these concepts.
Yes.
And prove... Maybe
Krishna will help you.
Now, later on, when Saraputta speaks, there will be similar concept, but that is applied to the human platform. We call inspiration. Inspiration and proving the existence of Paramatma, Super Soul, actually ties very together well. Even from the molecular level, you can see this, and in the human platform, actually it is very vividly
manifest.
We can feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, in all branches of study, either it is physical or chemical or mathematical, in all branches of science, we want to show the the existence of Krishna.
His hand is working.
Yes.
Maya dhaksena pragiti suyati sachara. That is fact. That is Krishna.
So these are some of the chemical concepts that describe earlier, and from next one over, Sarabhudu will take over, and he will describe the mathematical and the physical concepts of proving the existence of Paramatma.
Would you like to talk to that, Srila Prabhupada?
I know. What business you have got?
Shall I offer it for you?
Yes.
Well, this slide shows these are the laws of nature according to physicists. And the point that you make is that this is their understanding of the final cause of things. And it's very limited. Actually, on this one page, these equations describe everything that goes into all the actions and interactions of chemistry according to their present understanding. And so there are two main points to make about this. Number one, these are very these laws describe very simple forces, pushes and pulls between atoms and things like that. And so intuitively, it's very hard to imagine why such simple forces should cause anything complex to organize itself together. Now, they make the scientists customarily make the assertion that laws like this are universal. And but one thing we can notice is that they have no proof of that. These laws, which they say are universal, are only studied in certain limited experimental situations with inanimate matter. And then they extrapolate and they say that they apply to everything. But actually, the equations are so hard to solve, even for reasonably simple molecules, that they can't actually test out their assertion. So it's just a bluffing statement. So with this slide, we wanted to point out how limited the these laws are, how limited their concept of the laws of nature is. Next slide. According to the scientists' idea, there are two things going on, these laws and also chance. So this is a calculation showing what happens if you just have chance acting to form one of these proteins that Sri Damodar was talking about. And you can calculate, actually here you calculate, suppose you threw a protein together at chance, and here we even allow a 10% error. You're allowed to get it wrong and along 10% of the protein. But still, the chance comes out to 10^-244th power. Now, the scientists are always saying if you wait for a long enough time, even something very unlikely can happen. But here we have a calculation of how long you'd have to wait according to mathematics and probability theory. And even if you assume an unrealistically high rate of forming proteins at random, still you'd have to wait, according to this, 10^167 power billion years. That's a bit too long.
That is mathematics.
That's longer than Brahma's life.
So, mathematics shows that chance alone would never begin to produce the things that go into life, because this say is just for one protein. But there are, it's estimated in the simplest cell that they experiment with that there are some 3,000 proteins. This is what they estimate. And in a human, in a single cell of a human body, they estimate 300,000 or even 3 million. It's just an estimate. But it shows that chance is completely unrealistic. Now, the scientists will say that both chance and natural laws can somehow mysteriously go together in what they call natural selection to produce living structures. And the next slide is a little calculation. This is also a calculation, and it shows that that is not correct either, at least as far as the mathematics goes. What this says is, suppose you look at the Earth, and you're going to wait 4 1.5 billion years. That's what they estimate is the age of the Earth. And ask, what is the chance of finding a given organized structure? And mathematically, there's a thing called information theory. And you can show that the chance of getting an organized structure with a high level of information goes down exponentially. So that for an amount of information higher than that of the laws that cause these things to move, the chance goes down practically to zero. So it wouldn't happen. So this gets kind of complicated, but there's a basic point behind it. Namely, it indicates that the natural laws that are causing things, like that list of those laws, must already have in them, built into them, whatever is going to be manifested. That is, if some given structure can be manifested in the material world, that means the laws that are causing things must already have at least that much built into them. But their understanding of natural laws, the laws are too simple, too short to have that kind of thing built into them. So there's that argument. We have the next one. This is some mathematical formulas related to that. I think we should know that. This slide right here gives an example of the kind of structures you find even in simple organisms. This is a bacterium. And when they look at it under a microscope, they can see that this bacterium has a reversible motor built into it. And this motor spins a spiral flagellum, and by spinning it, it propels the bacterium through the water, just like a submarine. So this very sophisticated motor is built into the wall of the bacterium. So that shows the kind of structures that, for which designs would have to be there. Actually, the scientific explanation, the way that they explain how this comes about, is completely impossible, because they would say that either by chance it came about all at once, and the chances are way too small, so that would never happen, or else it would have to come by small stages somehow. But what would be a small stage in the formation of a workable motor? You can't even think of how that would work, so it doesn't make much sense. So what we wanted to argue was that these living structures are very highly complex and have a very great amount of information needed to specify them. And then mathematically it follows that this evolution process can't happen, or the probabilities go way down to something impossible. So we wanted to argue that. Next slide. Whoops.
Oh.
You're going the wrong way. Yeah. We wanted to compare some structures. This is the chemist's idea of what a diamond. The top picture is the chemist's idea of what the structure of a diamond looks like. And it's based on very simple repeating patterns. And it's reasonable, perhaps, that chemical pushes and pulls could produce a simple design like this just by pulling the molecules together. Lower thing is a structure for graphite, which is another simple design built on hexagons. But on the other hand, in living systems, you have things like this. According to the way they've analyzed it, there are chemical structures of this complexity. And so we'd like to argue that this requires a very large amount of information to specify this thing. And so that the simple natural laws couldn't account for this. On the other hand, it's very reasonable to suppose that an intelligent designer could account for things like that. These protein structures, as Srup Damodar was pointing out, it's not just any old structure, but it performs a very specific function within the cell, just like a little automatic machine of some kind. So we'd like to argue that the chance and molecular forces theory won't explain things like this, but to say that there's an intelligent designer would be a sensible explanation. The next slide, this shows some of the complexities of what goes on inside a cell, and it's only a fraction of what is there. It's hard to read, but each little bit of print refers to some very complicated chemical reaction involving big molecules like the one in the last slide. And so there are hundreds of reactions like that on this one page. And this page is one out of four from a chart that we found detailing some of these things. And this metabolism goes on even in the most primitive cells like this bacterium. And yet it's only a fraction of the total of what goes on, the scientists will admit. They've only made a fractional study of all that's going on in these cells. So that kind of argument was one line of reason we'd like to present. Now this refers to another thing. We'd like to describe the concept of consciousness being something not material, non-physical and non-chemical. And it turns out that actually in modern physics, that's already a basic principle. And it's been that way for the last 50 or 60 years. But that's not widely admitted or taught in the schools. But actually, in modern physics, it's called quantum mechanics, they realize that in order to describe physical processes, you have to include the observer in the picture. You can't describe these things without accounting for the observer. And so they made an analysis. This was done by von Neumann, who was one of these physicists. And he analyzed the difference between the observer and the observed. And so here we have a man looking through, say, a microscope at some object. And you can see that you can, in this case, draw the line between the observer and the observed where that blue line is. So the man is observing the microscope plus object. And physically, according to the physicist's idea, there are these equations represented by number one, equation number one, which describe all the molecules and forces of interaction on the observed side. But there's another kind of equation that arose in quantum mechanics, which corresponds to the observer's side. And this equation is completely different from the first equation. So this indicates that the observer must be something different in nature from the observed. Now the next slide shows here the boundary between the observer and the observed is moved. It's kind of arbitrary. You can move the boundary back, so now the observed becomes the eyeball and the microscope and the object. And the observer is still on the other side. And the basic idea is you can move this boundary back step by step. And on one side, you can put, at least in principle, more and more of the parts of the body into the observed system. But on the other side, you still have the observer. And he continues to be described by an equation that can't be reduced to the force laws that are used to describe the observed. So the conclusion is that the observer must be something non-physical. He's not actually part of that physical body at all. So that's actually basic in quantum mechanics. So I'm going to present that. Now this slide is another line of evidence here. It's the inspiration. And Srila Prabhupada has said that intelligence is the form direction of super soul. So it's interesting, it's really striking to observe how various people create things in mathematics and science and art and like that. It's very striking. So we made two examples here. This one is a mathematician named Gauss, who lived in the 19th century. And his concern was to solve mathematical problems. And the interesting thing is that in a very difficult mathematical problem, the person never solves it by figuring it out consciously, step by step. But what happens is that he tries very hard to figure it out for a long time, and nothing happens, and then all of a sudden the answer comes to him. So it's hard to read that quote. This was a quotation by this Gauss describing how that happened to him.
Can you read it one?
Yeah, I succeeded not on account of my painful efforts, but by the grace of God. Like a sudden flash of lightning, the riddle happened to be solved. I myself cannot say what was the conducting thread which connected what I had previously knew with what
What made my efforts?
What made my success possible?
The chance theory is the grace of God.
That's the grace of God?
Yes, because he, God sees that this rascal is trying for so many years. All right, give him a chance. That is his mercifulness. So what they call chance theory, that is grace of God.
So God is all merciful?
Oh, yeah. That is the proof.
Actually, this couldn't come about by just chance, because the number of possibilities...
There is, but he takes it as chance. Yeah. The, all the possibilities taken together is given by God. That he does not know, he takes it as chance.
Yeah.
There is no question of chance, it is a gift of God. Mm.
Next example, this is another example taken from music. This example is Mozart. Mozart was a musician, he composed symphonies, and in that quote, which I'll just summarize it instead of reading it, he explains how it was that he created his symphonies. And he explained that actually what happened was that ideas just came into his mind, melodic themes and so on. And he says, whence do they come? I do not know and I have nothing to do with it. And actually what would happen was that an entire symphony would just blossom into his mind and he wouldn't even know where it was coming from. So...
Unknown.
Yeah.
Unknown source.
So we want to argue that this demonstrates that Super Soul is acting. And...
You have known Fred.
These cases of these very famous musicians and scientists and such, there are many of them. They can be multiplied at great length, and very striking that way.
We are about to make a slide of Kabiras, Krishnadas Kabiras, about the writing Chaitanya Charitamrita on the same line, direction by the Super Soul. We had, couldn't put together, but we'll make several slides along these lines, proving the existence of Super Soul on the human level.
We're also thinking that this inspiration illustrated the modes of nature and the law of karma to some extent, because like that mathematician had to struggle very painfully for a long time without getting his result, and then he got it. But so that sort of seems more like a mode of passion and like that. But Mozart apparently just got these things without having to struggle for them, as though that was his past karma or something like that. So the next slide. This is a summary of the basic kind of argument we wanted to make. The picture on the left, those ovals represent states of matter, configurations of matter, and they go from simple toward the bottom, like just a chemical solution, up towards more complex as you go up, like living bodies of different kinds. The theory of evolution is sort of indicated in the left-hand one. According to that theory, you have very simple natural laws, and you start out with simple physical states, but somehow these natural laws produce a progressive increase in order, as indicated by those arrows that keep going up. But actually, we want to argue that simple natural laws don't have the power to do that, and that the situation on the right is what would happen if you just had simple natural laws. Namely, they would keep shoving things around on a simple level, but never produce anything complex. The next slide, though, indicates that if you had natural laws with a high order of complexity, then they could manifest physical situations with a high order of complexity also, depending on how much was built into the laws. So we wanted to, and these two examples indicate a higher and higher order of natural laws. So what we wanted to do is then combine these two things together. On the one hand, that consciousness is not a physical phenomenon, and on the other hand, that in order to get highly
conscious. It is physical,
pardon me?
But subtle.
Ah. But the actual perception of the soul is not.
Perception of the soul is there, mm-hmm. but in this physical demonstration is of the soul by consciousness. The more it is purified, it is becomes spiritual. The consciousness is there. The more it is purified, then it becomes spiritual. Sarvapadhi vinirmuktam tatparastena nirmalam. It has to be purified. The water is crystal clear, but when it comes in touch with the earth, it becomes muddy. But again you can clarify it. And water becomes crystal clear. That consciousness is Krishna consciousness.
So we wanted to then say that two lines of reasoning, that you have to have higher order laws to cause complex forms.
That's higher order of laws is explained. Maya dhakshena.
Maya dhakshena prakriti.
Shriyate satcharata. Hetunanena pramthiya jagadvi pariva. Things are going down on account of the superior direction.
So that is proven in the next slide.
That's all.
Excuse me. I want that next slide on there.
Where is it?
It's like the higher order.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah. Jato vayimani bhutani jayante ahang sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate iti matya bhajante maam bhudham bhavu samannita Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Dullava. Here is Vasudeva Sarva. Find out this verse. Bahunam Janmanavanti Jnanavan Maam Kutadvati Vasudeva Sarvamiti. This is Vasudeva. Vasudeva Murti. And from him everything is coming.
Isn't it a...
That is real knowledge. That is real knowledge. Yeah?
Bahunam Janmanamante Yanamamapadite Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudalabaha. After many births,
this conclusion Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So you are Mahatma Sudullah, not ordinary rascal mathematician. But you are real mathematician. The Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma. Made the purport.
Translation in purport. After many births and deaths, he whose actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Purport. The living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals after many, many births, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism, but when one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life, and that these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders to him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything, and that he is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent from him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness, and realizes that in everything there is a relationship with the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relationship to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna as the highest goal. Such surrendered great souls are very rare. This verse is very nicely explained in the third canto of Svetashvatara Upanishad. In this body, there are powers of speaking, of seeing, of hearing, of mental activities, etc. But these are not important if not related to the Supreme Lord. And because Vasudeva is all-pervading and everything is Vasudeva, the devotee surrenders in full knowledge.
Vasudeva, surrender. That's right. जनयति आसु वैराग्यम ज्ञानं च जगदम् वैराग्य एंड ज्ञान बहुत थिंग विल डेवलप वासुदेव Take prasad. You give him twice. He has worked very hard. Double. He should get double.
Who's that?
He.
Russian.
So much fun.
So Krishna will bless you. Push this scientific movement, go to every university, every college. How they are receiving now in the college circle?
We gave a lecture in Gainesville a couple of days ago. And it was interesting. We also gave a couple of TV interviews on the TV.
Now how they received it?
Well, in the class, first the professor, you know, said, well, that's completely fallacious. But he quieted down.
Yeah. They will say that, fallacious, that you have to make them down.
But in the TV, it was very favorable. The interview was, he was a professor at the University of Florida. And he was a professor of religion and history. We were speaking about life coming from life.
Scientific
point of view,
and
it's very well.
That's
a nice person's
also.
All right,
Josh.
And the very complex molecules, very slight probability, practically none, that this could happen by chance. It has to be some intelligence. It's a very good argument for chemistry point of view.
Even anyone with a little common sense can understand that a very simple thing cannot produce a highly complicated thing. It's so such an obvious point, but they have to have so many mathematical equations to
and your argument
picked up on so many complicated things, then it is working.
And if one slight thing is off, it
immediately will stop.
Yeah, he made that point in the, he said in the development of a motor, he said the whole thing has to be there, the whole idea has to be there to start with, to make the motor and make it work, then it works.
It is yours.
It's your ship, brother. Good.
It's very, very convincing, this presentation.
I think though, there are Mahatmas, no doubt, but it's just that most chemists are, most scientists are very, very skeptical. Going from ovals and all of a sudden they see the form of Vishnu.
Yeah.
That will be a great shock for the scientists.
His brain is there.
Maybe they should explain that in a little more detail, that then that higher order, that he put in the slide that there was one box that said higher order laws. So then they have to explain then that if there's laws, then there's lawmaker. That means higher intelligence, so that means a higher personality.
What did you explain? Vasudeva is higher. Vasudeva is higher.
Difficulty is that they compare Vasudeva to themselves. They think that I am so unintelligent and so tiny, I can't even create anything, but how can one person create all of these things down to the tiniest? Adam, such an extraordinary...
Therefore he's God.
Yes.
He's not dog, like you.
Yes.
Barking only and doing nothing.
Marble. It's a type of Italian marble, I think. They call it terrazzo, something like that.
It's very soft underneath.
They often put this on the facings of buildings.
Oh. Big comes buildings. Off on the fingers. It's very soft stone. Mm.
This is the in Detroit Temple, that stairway that goes up, this is the same marble.
Oh.
Marble steps. Yes.
Would you like this fan on at all, Srila Prabhupada?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It works.
Yeah.